If you'd like a title for today's sermon, it's this: The End of the World. As we've been seeing this week, Russian military forces began a full-scale invasion of the country of Ukraine. Even as we speak, Russian soldiers are advancing to and through Ukraine's major cities. Though overpowered, Ukrainian soldiers and civilians are doing all they can to slow the Russian invaders. And though the United States has been warning Ukraine for weeks that such an invasion was likely, many Ukrainians and so-called foreign policy experts around the world refuse to accept that such an attack would actually occur. Here are a few quotes posted by the Associated Press regarding the surprised reactions of just a few witnesses to this invasion. Quote, on Sunday, people were walking around, strolling around, didn't really think it was going to happen.
Eating in restaurants, which we were doing until the day that it happened, says Martha Raddatz, the anchor of ABC's This Week, who anchored the Sunday show from Ukraine last weekend and continued reporting from the country as the invasion began. Then that morning, there were air raids in Lviv, where we were. That really changed everything in the way everybody looked at what was happening. It was scary for them, frightening. You had parents trying to explain to their children what an air raid siren is without trying to freak them out, end quote. Reporting goes on, the networks were not alone in their surprise. Reuters reported that the head of Germany's Foreign Intelligence Service, the BND, was in Kiev, where the attack began, and was unable to evacuate by land until this past Friday. Quote, things changed in an instant, adds Fox News foreign correspondent Trey Yingst. One day there were civilians in cafes and eating in restaurants in Kiev's central square, and the next day there were airstrikes targeting the center of the city. The volume of the warnings coming out of Washington seemed totally at odds with what we were seeing on the ground here, says ABC News senior foreign correspondent Ian Pannell. It was like the boy who cried wolf. They kept saying invasion is imminent. Putin is going to attack. They are going to Kiev. It seems so outlandish, so unbelievable, so illogical that nobody could believe it. I didn't believe it, and I am willing to admit I was wrong. And I think everyone who watches the Kremlin who is based in Russia, they got it wrong, end quote. In Kiev, Anna Dovnya watched soldiers and police remove shrapnel from an exploded shell and was terrified. She said, quote, we have lost all faith. Until the very last moment, I didn't believe it would happen. I just pushed away these thoughts, end quote. Another observer, Anton Mironov, stated, nobody believed that this war would start and that they would take Kiev directly. I feel mostly fatigue. None of it feels real. I feel panic, scared, and excited, said Kiev resident Elizaveta Melnik. I don't know who I should ask for help. We didn't believe this situation would come, end quote. Let's turn over to Matthew 24. We'll look at verses 36 to 39, because those quotes sound a bit familiar. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 39. You know, when Jesus Christ was asked about the events surrounding the end of this age, Satan's world, he warned that humans would not accept that they were living in the last days until it was too late. Matthew 24, 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of who the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. so also will be the coming, will the coming of the Son of Man be. You know, when sudden and dramatic events occur, it's natural for those in God's church to wonder just how such events fit in with God's plan. We ask ourselves, just how close are we to the end of this present world, this current era? Early in the 20th century, leaders in the Church of God asked this question when World War I erupted. Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong asked that question when World War II began. Many of the adults in our congregation asked this question at various points during the Cold War, on 9/11, 2001, and when the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq began. All of those events seemed so cataclysmic that many in God's church felt certain when they occurred that these were events of the prophesied last days, and that this was the beginning of that final chapter. Yet those events passed. The world shock dissipated. Most people went right back to their regular lives and lifestyles. Of course, we cannot become complacent today. The events of the end time are going to occur. But the news of Russia invading Ukraine is not necessarily the sign that the Great Tribulation is about to commence. Of course, we know that a great military and economic power will arise in Europe prior to Christ's return. The Bible refers to it as a beast power. It does seem likely that an emergent and menacing Russia may play a significant role in prompting the formation and actions of this beast power. So, here we are. There's war in Europe. Is this the end of the world? Are the prophetic signs foretold by the Holy Scriptures now in place for the end of this present age to commence? Today, I'd like to review with you 7 prophetic signs that need to occur before Jesus Christ will return. And I'll be relying heavily on the United Church of God booklet, 7 Prophetic Signs Before Jesus Returns. What a coincidence. So we'll use the sermon time today to review those 7 signs, just touching on the highlights of that literature and the points presented in that publication. Thought this would be, with current events, this would be a good topic to think about again, as that booklet is a few years old now. I would certainly encourage you to send for the booklet or access it at ucg.org if you want to read these topics in more detail. I'll just be hitting the highlights as we go through the message today. So the first of those signs that needs to occur before Christ can return, number one, mankind must have the ability to exterminate itself. Mankind must have the ability to exterminate itself. Let's turn to Matthew 24:22. Matthew 24 and verse 22. We see here a foretelling of that end time that was not really possible up until the middle of the 20th century. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, this verse is clearly referring to the end times, just before the return of Christ. And until the invention of atomic weapons, it was not possible for human armies to bring about the destruction of the entire human species. Only after the invention of ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, at the end of the 1950s, 1958, 1959, did it actually become possible for a country to destroy targets on distant continents with nuclear warheads. Even so, it was not actually until the 1960s when the U.S. and Soviet nuclear arsenals were large enough to actually destroy all human civilization. So since the 1960s, the sign that humans would have the ability to destroy all flesh has been a reality. This sign has been fulfilled already. That is in place. We could do it if the wrong leaders got the right weapons. That could happen. So the second of these signs, a Jewish homeland will be established in Israel. A Jewish homeland will be established in Israel. We know that the northern 10 tribes of Israel were removed from the promised land by the Assyrian Empire in the 8th century BC. The Babylonians removed most of the Jews from Judea in the 6th century BC, but some of them returned 7 decades later with the permission of the Persian Emperor Cyrus, and more came back after that. The Romans defeated and displaced Judea's Jewish population on 2 separate occasions, some during the time of Emperor Vespasian when the temple was destroyed, and again during the reign of Emperor Hadrian. Then for around 1,800 years, Judea was under foreign occupation, with only a handful of Jews residing there. And those Jews did not have political power or territorial sovereignty over Jerusalem or Judea. But let's go to Daniel chapter 12. We'll look at verses 9 through 11. Daniel 12. We see some indications here that prior to Christ's return, there would be a significant Jewish presence in and around Jerusalem. Daniel 12 and verse 9, referring to God, and he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, we're not going to get into all the specifics of that prophecy today. That's a whole different topic. But in 1948, the state of Israel was created. The U.S. was the first foreign country, or at least the first significant country, to recognize the existence of the state of Israel. Yet it was not until 1967, during the Six-Day War, that Israeli forces took control of the old city of Jerusalem, including what's known as the Temple Mount. Therefore, since 1967, the ability of this end-time sign to occur has been possible. Only the sons and male descendants of Aaron were permitted to offer up the daily sacrifices in the tabernacle, or then later in the temple. So this is a reference to the sons of Aaron, right, of the tribe of Levi. As of 2022, sacrifices have not yet resumed in Jerusalem. So that will have to happen before the sacrifices can be taken away. But this verse indicates that Jerusalem would be under Jewish control at the end time, or such sacrifices would not be permitted in the city. Let's go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Because some people might read the passage in Daniel 12 and argue, well, there's no specific reference to a Jewish state or military presence in Jerusalem, right? Just the presence of religious officials. But the exact same time period is what's being referenced here in Zechariah 14. And notice what it says here, starting in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, right? And that's a reference to the end time, Christ's return. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. That has not happened yet. It's still in the future. The city shall be taken. the houses rifled and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. So again, this is a specific reference to Christ's return. Let's skip to verse 13. It shall come to pass in that day that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. And verse 14, Judah also will fight at Jerusalem. So here we see additional evidence that Judah, the Jews, will be present in Jerusalem at the time of the end, and that they will have military forces present there. They're going to be part of this battle. So that's the second sign. Is that in effect yet? Well, those events have not happened, but the state of Israel has been established with Jerusalem in that area. Obviously, many of their Arab neighbors contest the control or sovereignty of Jerusalem. What about number three, the third sign? The king of the north and the king of the south will rise as regional powers. The king of the north and the king of the south will rise as regional powers. Let's go back to Daniel, this time chapter 11. We'll look at verses 40 to 43. Daniel 11. The prophet Daniel includes prophecies about two great political confederations struggling against each other for control of the Middle East. One is known as the King of the North, the other as the King of the South. Verse 40. At the time of the end, so again, this is specifically referencing that time right before Christ's return. At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, referring to the promised land, Israel, Jerusalem. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon, so the area of Jordan today. Verse 42, he shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. So this is referring to a very strong power from the north that's coming into the Middle East and basically toppling governments, taking over countries and or building forced alliances with some of these countries. These powerful confederations are not currently in place. There is no current king of the south. We've presumed that this king of the south will ultimately unite predominantly Islamic countries behind a common cause. And as of now, there is no king of the north. While some speculate that this power will arise out of the European Union or even from a new NATO that will expel the US and Canada and Britain, the reality is we just don't know how close this Northern Confederation is to forming. So as of 2022, this sign of the end time has not yet been fulfilled. All that is still to come. Sign number four, a dominating Roman system will come to power. A dominating Roman system will come to power. Now, this fourth sign relates directly to the previous sign. Why is that? Because it seems fairly certain that the king of the north will be the same confederation that is also known as the beast power. Let's go to Revelation 17. And we're going to read extensively on this one. So we're going to be looking at verses 3 to 18. So we're going to slow down a little bit, right? Some of you are getting really anxious. Oh, great. We'll be done in 10 minutes. Whoa. Hold on. We might finish a little bit early. So, Revelation 17, starting in verse 3. A great false spiritual power, known as Babylon the Great, will form a precarious partnership with this beast power. Revelation 17, verse 3. So he carried me away in the wilderness, or in the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations of the filthiness of her fornication. And on her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life, that from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. So let's pause here for a minute. Note that this beast power will not be a new entity. It is a power that has already ruled in the world in the past, but is now not wielding that power. Yet it has never really disappeared. It's patiently waiting to rise and reclaim its former position on the world stage. Verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So note that this beast power will not exist for a long period of time prior to the end of the age. Its rise and fall will be relatively swift. That seems to indicate that this alliance of 10 kings or rulers is not currently in place. Of course, many speculate, you know, is this the European Union? Is that what's going to come from this? We just don't know that. We have to watch and wait and see. Verse 13, these are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, meaning Christ. And the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. And so that's a reference to the firstborn, right? Or the first fruits coming with the firstborn, Jesus Christ, coming back as spirit beings. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So this power will have authority, influence over multiple countries and regions of the world. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, or come to hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So there's going to be a falling out between this political, military power and this religious system, Babylon the Great. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw, this is a key verse, the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Now remember, when Jesus revealed these prophecies to the Apostle John, he had been imprisoned by the Romans on the island of Patmos. The great city that reigned over the kings of the earth when this prophecy was given was Rome. And notice the verse says, the woman whom you saw is that great city which, present tense, reigns over the kings of the earth. John would have known immediately what that meant. This passage indicates that a false religious system based in Rome, or the traditions of Rome, will be supporting this end-time confederation of 10 rulers. This beast power has not yet arisen. Of course, it is quite possible that the man who will be known as the beast is currently alive. But he has not been granted power by these 10 rulers. So this sign of the end time has not yet been fulfilled. We're still waiting to see these develop. So the fifth sign, and this is one that we know about intellectually, but it's awfully sad. It will be sad to see this happen. And of course, watching these scenes coming out of Eastern Europe, you see regular people, right, with their lives disrupted and missiles flying out of nowhere and blowing up apartment buildings. To see a modern society destroyed horrifically by war seems unimaginable in our daily experiences. And yet, what we're seeing there may very well happen here. Let's go to Hosea 5, because this point is the United States, Britain, and the state of Israel will fall prior to the time of Christ's return. The United States, Britain, and the state of Israel will fall prior to the time of Christ's return. Hosea 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 today. Now, one of the key beliefs of the Church of God is the understanding of what happened to the descendants of the lost 10 tribes of Israel. We don't have time to go through all that in today's message. However, if you've not studied into the topic or you've not studied into it recently, you can send for the UCG booklet entitled The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. And that can also be accessed on the church's website, ucg.org. In addition, if you're interested, you can also find on the website under sermons some messages that I gave back in 2017. The first one was the throne of David in prophecy, and the other one, the house of Israel in prophecy. So those were posted in 2017. Many prophecies point to the identification of the modern nations of Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand as being established by the descendants of Ephraim, the son of Joseph, and the United States being established by the descendants of Manasseh, another son of Joseph. The founders of the modern state of Israel were primarily of Jewish descent, descended from Jacob's son, Judah. So, in fact, the country of Israel should rightly be called Judah and not Israel. Now, with this in mind, end-time Bible prophecies explain what the status of the United States and British-descended nations and the state of Israel will be prior to Christ's return. Hosea 5 and verse 1. Hear this, O priests, take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the king, for yours is the judgment, because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter, though I rebuke them all. And God says, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. So God has been observing, watching these nations through the years. He's been there evaluating, judging. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry. Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim, and now notice that phrase, we'll come back to that, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. Judah also stumbles with them. So there's three specific groups that are identified here: Israel, Ephraim, and Judah. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. They have dealt treacherously with the Lord, for they have begotten pagan children. Now a new moon shall devour them and their heritage. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Cry aloud at Beth Avon. Look behind you, O Benjamin. Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke. Among the tribes of Israel I make known what is sure. The princes of Judah are like those who remove a landmark. I will pour out my wrath on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed and broken in judgment because he willingly walked by human precept. Therefore, I will be to Ephraim like a moth and to the house of Judah like rottenness. Now, that's pretty strong words. He's talking about the infidelity of these countries who were supposed to be the chosen nations. This is the explanation from the UCG booklet, Seven Prophetic Signs Before Jesus Returns, and they put this in words that were better than I could come up with, so I thought I'd share a couple passages here. It says, new moons occur a month apart. A new moon devouring them would seem to mean that Israel, Ephraim, and Judah will all fall within 1 month. This prophecy was not fulfilled in ancient times. As already mentioned, ancient Judah fell to Babylon more than a century after Israel fell to Assyria. Yet in the end, it appears they will fall together within 1 month of each other. This prophecy remains to be fulfilled. Remember that Israel gave his name, Israel, to Ephraim and Manasseh, the ancestors in turn of the British and American peoples. As Ephraim is mentioned separately in this prophecy, the reference to Israel must apply to the United States, which is now the more dominant of the two nations. Here then is a prophecy, this is a separate quote, here then is a prophecy regarding all three nations, the United States, Britain, and Israel, or Judah. According to this prophecy, it appears that all three will fall within the span of a month. Verse 6 shows these nations turning back to God, but finding it's too late. Because of their sins, he will let them suffer defeat and collapse, end quote. Now, of course, we don't know specifically what will be the cause of the collapse. Will it be war? Some have speculated in the past, is this nuclear war? Or will the societies tear themselves apart from within, right? There's all sorts of possibilities, natural disasters. We just aren't told at this point what will be the fate of these descendants of Israel. To most people today, it would seem preposterous to imagine that the powerful countries of the United Kingdom and the United States could lose their power and perhaps even their sovereignty in the space of 1 month. Yet think of the terrified population of Ukraine today. Just 1 month ago, the people of that country could not have imagined what they are enduring right now, the attempted occupation of their country by a foreign power. And if they did imagine it, they didn't want to think about it. But Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, they're all independent countries in 2022. And the United States still holds the title of the world's strongest superpower. So this sign of the end time has not yet been fulfilled. Sign number six. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the entire world. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the entire world. Let's go to Matthew 24:14. Matthew 24:14. Familiar scripture? God's church is certainly actively preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God today via print and television and online and in some places even still on the radio. Does that mean that we have found another sign of the end time that has now been fulfilled? Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Now, as Mr. Armstrong often said, all means all. How is that going to happen? The gospel is being preached, but this sign has not yet been fulfilled. There are still billions of people on earth who have not heard the true gospel of the kingdom of God. In some countries, one can be imprisoned or executed for attempting to convert others to Christianity or even preach about Christ. Authoritarian and totalitarian governments censor the ideas that their people can access on the internet or through the mail. The church today is doing what it can with its current financial resources to proclaim the gospel to the world. Yet it may be that only through the work of the coming two witnesses will the entire world be made aware of God's plan and the gospel of the kingdom of God. So, speculation, but something to think about. So, at least for 2022, the way I see it, I don't think that sign of the end time has yet been fulfilled. There's still more to do in preaching the gospel. So, we've now covered six of the seven prophetic signs that must come to pass before Jesus Christ returns. So far, the score is 2 yes, 4 no. If you're keeping score. But the seventh sign is another yes. Sign seven, instant worldwide communications will be possible at the time of God's final two witnesses. Instant worldwide communications will be possible at the time of God's final two witnesses. Let's go to Revelation 11. And we'll look at verses 3 through 11. Revelation 11. You know, the technology exists now as never before to spread the gospel into every country on earth. It is primarily political and financial obstacles that have kept this sign from coming to pass. The preaching of the gospel to all the nations. But the ability to do it is already present. This amazing prophecy foretells that a system of live images will exist that will allow people in every part of the world to see and hear the two witnesses and what befalls them. Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven, so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. Now let's pause for a minute. What do you think will be their testimony? No doubt the proclamation of the return of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth, preaching the gospel. Verse 8, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Well, now we know. That's Jerusalem. Verse 9. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. Now this ability to stream live video around the planet is only possible with satellite technology, which did not develop until the 1950s. And the ability to get those images before the eyes of people everywhere is only a few decades old with the advent of the internet and smartphones, right? You want to see what's happening in Jerusalem? It takes a few seconds. Go to the streaming site on your phone. I can see it from South Africa, from Brazil, from anywhere. The technology is currently in place to allow this sign to be considered fulfilled. This could happen right now. Now, the two witnesses aren't here yet, right? But the technology for the world to see and hear them is. And again, that same technology can be used for them to hear the gospel that they're preaching. So we've looked at these seven signs that must occur before Christ's return. So how can we answer the question regarding how close we are to the end of this world or this present evil age? Let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21. We'll look at verses 5 through 9 here. Despite the present crisis in Eastern Europe, we are apparently still in the period foretold by Jesus Christ as described in these verses. Luke 21, verse 5. Then as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, he, Jesus, said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "Take heed that you are not be deceived. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. See, what seems so horrific on our TV screens and computer screens and phones going on right now is just a foretaste of what's coming to this world as a result of sin. It's reminding us this can really happen. It will really happen on a global scale in the years ahead. Right now, we're still in this period. We're looking for a partnership between a false religious system, Babylon the Great, and the rise of a confederation of 10 powerful leaders in Europe. And though members of God's church do face persecution in a few regions of the world right now, widespread persecution of the Church of God has not yet begun. But let's not breathe a sigh of relief. All the terrible events foretold in Bible prophecy will come to pass. But since the two witnesses have not yet begun their work, we know we are at least 3.5 years away from Christ's return. It can't be any sooner than that. It is likely that there's more years than that to go. Now, certainly world conditions have worsened considerably in the last decade. We have seen wars and commotions in various places, and the United States has been involved in some big ones. We've seen a pandemic now that's killed millions of people, nearing a million Americans right now. And it's changed our lifestyle and even threatened the livelihoods of countless families around the globe. At some point, the remaining signs that we've examined will fall into place rapidly. Knowing that these things are coming, and given that we have been warned to prepare for these events, will we be ready? That's the question we need to ask. Not necessarily when, but will we be ready? Or will we, like the Ukrainian woman I quoted at the beginning of this message, right, will we be like her proclamation or exclamation, until the very last moment, I didn't believe it would happen? Let's conclude by reading from 1 Thessalonians 5. We're going to finish with verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 1. See, God's warnings are sure. God keeps his promises, the good ones and the bad ones. How very important it is that we in God's church take seriously the need to watch and pray and to be sure we are personally ready for Christ's return before these events are suddenly upon us. Here Paul gives a warning and an assurance to the members of God's church at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1, and I think it's a warning that we can learn from as well. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing.